Today on Real Radio.
Who's the human author of the book of Revelation? John. He was caught up in the Spirit to see the coming of the Lord. Could it be that Jesus was cryptically referring to, in John chapter 21, that it would be the Apostle John that would see his return in spirit? John saw it. Be careful how you read the Bible. Every line, every word of detail, the Lord will fulfill.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues with his study series in Revelation. So far, we've looked at John's larger-than-life description of the risen Messiah, as well as the dictated letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Now, we're presented with the visions given to the exiled apostle, beginning with the opening verses of chapter 4. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in his study called When the Saints Go Marching In.
And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like. We all want to know what we're going to be like when that time comes. But we know this, that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in Christ purifies himself even as Christ is pure. It means you're waiting. It's kind of hard to get caught up into sexual relationship when you're waiting for Christ. It's pretty hard to get caught up in drugs or violence or the things of this world or apathy if you're waiting for Christ. You can't be sleeping with your girlfriend or sleeping with somebody else's husband or wife and expect that you're living and waiting for the return of Christ. Excuse me, there's something very wrong there. Are you even a believer? The rapture's going to come. Be looking for the blessed hope. Be ready. Why? The Bible teaches Christ could come at any moment. That's the great hope for the Christian. Listen, at the moment of the rapture, when the saints go marching in, the revelation will be from God. He says, I will show you things which must take place after this. God delights in telling us the future. He said it in the Bible. By the way, one-third of the Bible is believed to be prophetic in nature. One-third of the Bible. Jesus said in John 13:19, Now I tell you before it happens that when it does come to pass, you will believe that I am he, or I am the one, or that I am. It's interesting to realize, and I'm just going to paraphrase this. Look at it later. It's a neat study, you Bible students. In John's Gospel, chapter 21, in chapter 21, there's a big debate going on among the apostles. And Peter is making an inquiry, and he's talking about John. And he says, as he gives, Jesus is giving the direction and mandate and all for what's to take place. Peter says, well, what about him? And he points to John, and it says this Peter did, pointing to John, because Jesus, because they believed that John would not die until Christ returned. And Jesus turns in John chapter 21, Jesus turns to Peter and says, it's none of your business that if I will that John should live until I come back or not, it's none of your business. And that saying was propagated, and they twisted it around believing that John would never die until Jesus would return. That's what the early church believed. It was wrong, but that's what the early church believed. Now listen to this. Why would Jesus say that to John and to Peter about John's life? When Peter said, what's up? Jesus says, Peter, mind your own business. If it's my will that Peter that John should see my return or not, has nothing to do with you. Well, what's interesting about this is who's the human author of the book of Revelation? John. He was caught up in the Spirit to see the coming of the Lord. Could it be that Jesus was cryptically referring to, in John chapter 21, that it would be the Apostle John that would see his return in spirit. John saw it. Be careful how you read the Bible. Every line, every word of detail, the Lord will fulfill. Jesus knew. The hope of the rapture is a practical hope. In Revelation 3, verse 3, we read it earlier. Revelation 3, 3 says, "Remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour in which I come upon you." The rapture is a message of hope. He warns us, be ready. Second point. Remember, we're only going to the third verse, so we're okay. Verse number 2, when the saints go marching in, found in verse number 2, it will be our entrance into eternity. Question, when will the church, when will you and I see eternity? If we're alive at the rapture, in that moment. When the saints go marching in, it will be our entrance into eternity. And listen, when that happens, we will be changed by the power of God. John says in verse 2, "Immediately I was in the Spirit." That doesn't mean he was Pentecostal. It doesn't mean that he got into some trance. The word means that he was transported by the power of God from that moment on in his observation. What he saw, what he heard, what he experienced was in heaven. He was changed, transformed. 1 Corinthians 15:49 says, "But as we have borne the image of the man of dust," that's the body that you and I have right now, made out of the 14 geological, biological elements of this earth. You and I are made out of dirt. You look better than that, but that's what we're made out of. That's why we eat things of this earth. We're designed this way. Supposed to be that way. We're made of dirt. "We shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." Oh, really? Great. Super. Right now we got the earth suit. When are we going to get the heaven suit? 1 Corinthians 15:50. "Now, this I say, brethren," and I read it, "flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." We've got to be changed. Like a little baby. We need changing. "Behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep." The word here is referred to, don't be confused. Oh, does that mean when I die, if I die today, that I sleep in the grave? Not at all. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Well, why does it use the word sleep? Because it's in reference to the body, the appearance of the body. When you see a dead person, it looks like they're sleeping. And this is the Bible's way of telling you that what I'm speaking about is referencing the body. We're talking resurrection here. The context dictates everything. I'm talking about the body being resurrected. Even though our consciousness and our presence is in the Lord, before the Lord. "We shall not all sleep." That is, we shall not all die. "But we shall be changed in a moment, in that twinkling of an eye." The truth is, we need new clothes for heaven. How are you going to get them? Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, for a bulk of that chapter, taught us in a teaching that he gave about how we need to get our suits changed for heaven. And he taught them a parable. And you can read it later, but in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus basically said this to them. He said, "Listen, there was a great invitation made to all people to come and experience a celebration, the wedding feast. But you have to get a garment to wear in." The garment, by the way, apparently is given by the owner or the one who's presenting the wedding. And so Jesus says, you got to have a garment. And so the festivities are underway and people are coming in. And then you could almost see, you know, the music's playing and people are having a great time in the setting. And apparently the record just goes, and there's silence. Because it says there, the custodian of the service comes over and says, "My friend, what are you doing in here? You don't have the right garment on. You're not wearing the proper attire for heaven, for the wedding." And Jesus says, "I tell you, that attendant will remove that person and he will be cast out to a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." Most scholars believe that the attempt to put a garment on and to be in a religious setting is in fact that, a religious act, and not a personal relationship with God. Have you been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ that comes through faith in him? By faith only. You can't buy it. Well, Pastor, I'm about ready to write a $1 million check. What is that going to do for you? That's between you and God, but it's not going to get you any clothes. It's not going to dress you in his righteousness. He gives that freely, but you have to ask. And by the way, for some of us, we need to hear this. He gives it freely and we have to ask, but listen, it also means that we have to shed the clothing that we have worked all of our lives to put on. Maybe it's a good reputation. Maybe it's a blue name. You know what a blue name is? A blue blood name? You have a, you know, like little Andrew this morning. What a name, huh? Andrew Thomas Jackson. I'm going to vote for him just because of his name. But it's not in the name. We're given a new name in heaven. We're given a new life in heaven. We're given new clothes in heaven. And the Bible says it's the righteousness of Christ that will clothe us. Have you been clothed by Jesus and his righteousness? A second thing we see here about our entrance into eternity is that we will see the Lord face to face. Can you imagine? We can only imagine, but we can imagine. But then, no. John says, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Why does he say that? Tell us who it is. He's looking, and he's completely, completely impressed. I've always wondered, you know, the Bible teaches throughout Scripture that no man can look upon the face of God and live. Did you know that? That's why God took Moses and stuffed him in a crack of a rock. And then God, in fact, God didn't even physically exactly pass by. He let his afterglow go by. And Moses took a peek. Remember what happened to his face? I mean, he got zapped. I don't know what it looked like. Maybe it was either burned, suntanned, or he glowed bright. But remember, he put a bag on his head and came down from Mount Sinai so that the people wouldn't see the glory of God fade from Moses' face. Can you imagine that? Moses, I want to see you. Well, you can't see me because I'm totally different. If you see me, it'll kill you. Oh, I want to see you. God says, okay. I'm going to stuff you in a rock. When I come by, I'll cover you with my hand, and then after I'm gone, I'll move my hand away, and then you'll take a peek at me, and it's just going to completely fry your circuits, but it'll answer your question. And it happened. The Bible says you can't look upon God and live. How in the world are we going to see God? John sees God. How is that going to happen? We have to be changed. And that's going to happen at the rapture. We're changed. What a great hope in heaven. I see a lot of you fanning yourselves. It's pretty hot in here, is it? Well, listen, this is as hot as it gets for us Christians. Because we're going to heaven. But the Bible says in Matthew 5:28, blessed, happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Is there a contradiction in the Bible? No, there's a change that's going to take place. It's going to be very fantastic and exciting. Revelation 20:11, and I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heavens fled away from. That's enough to freak you out right there. And there was found no place for them. Revelation 22:3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, for they shall see his face. You and I will see God's face, says the Bible, when we're changed. 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we look through a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. God knows everything about you. And in heaven, like Dr. Harry Ironside says, we're not going to be any dumber up there than we are here. He says, in heaven, we're going to have absolute knowledge given to us by God, and we will know just as we are known by him. So we all have a graduation coming. Third and final point is found in verse 3. When the saints go marching in, it will be like nothing we've ever seen before. And he who sat on the throne was like a jasper-like. Church students, what do you know already? Here's that symbolic talk. Is the one sitting on the throne a jasper? No, he's like a jasper, and he's like sardius, stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow, read it carefully, there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. An emerald's green. There's a rainbow around. It's not broken. There's a rainbow around the throne. It's unbroken. And it's emerald green. You know what's interesting about that? We see a rainbow today, and it's what? It's multicolored, and it's what? At best, I saw last Sunday afternoon, I had a chance to baptize somebody out in Orange County. It was raining out there, and the rain stopped, the sky opened up, and I don't know if I've ever seen a rainbow like this, and we got it on film. The rainbow went out of the ground all the way across the sky and back down into the ground with perfect brilliance. From one end to the other, it was perfect, but it was still a half a rainbow. For those of you who are pilots or you pay close attention when you're flying and you're looking out the window and you're looking just because you're looking, has any of you ever noticed the weird, neat meteorological vantage point that you have when you're above the earth looking down? Have you ever seen a rainbow that's in a complete circuit? When you get up into the atmosphere and you look down, you'll see a rainbow based upon certain meteorological conditions, and you look down on the ground and or near the earth, and there'll be a rainbow that's a complete circle. Next time you fly, look out the window and look. It's very, very amazing, if the conditions are right. In heaven, there's an unending rainbow about the throne. It will be like nothing we've ever seen before. First thing is that we will see Almighty God. He says, and he who sat there was like jasper, like sardis stone in appearance. Listen, John's doing the best he can to describe something here that's absolutely, he's never seen before. Why, when you read the Bible, you always have to ask the question, how come? Why? Listen, if you do a little search on your computer Bible or you get a concordance, guess what? I encourage you to go search this out. What's with the jasper and sardis stone? Type it in and do a search on it. You know what? You're going to be blessed to find out something. You're going to find out that these two stones appear in a lot of places, but one of them is on the breastplate of the high priest throughout Israel. Everybody with me? Well, guess which stone is the first stone? Oh, just take a wild guess. A jasper. Good job. Guess which stone is the last stone? Yeah, it's the first and the last stone. But it gets better. The stones represent what? The 12 tribes of Israel. What are the, or who are the 12 tribes of Israel named after? How many boys? 12 boys. Whose sons were they? Jacob's sons. Jacob's boys. Got 12 boys. Firstborn is Reuben. Jasper. That's not his last name. I'm just saying Reuben, not Reuben Jasper. Reuben. How do we know? Because on the breastplate of the priest, it was to start with the first. Reuben. Jasper. Who's the last son? Benjamin. The last boy. Sardius stone. First and the last. Oh, it gets better. Reuben, his name means behold this son. Reuben, behold this son. Guess what Benjamin's name means? The son of righteousness. The jasper and sardius stone. Behold this son of righteousness. Who is that son of righteousness? Proverbs 30, verse 4. Says, who is he who holds the waters in the fist and the clouds in his hands? Who is he? What's his name? And what is the name of his son, if you can tell me? I can tell you. I can tell you. Pick me. I can tell you. His name is Jesus, God's only begotten son. Very exciting. Almighty God, we will see him face to face in all of his completeness. Number two, it will be like nothing we've ever seen before when we see the throne room of heaven. And there was a rainbow around the throne like emerald in its appearance. Just simply this, and we'll move on. The book of Revelation is nicknamed the throne book. Why? Because in the book of Revelation, the throne is mentioned more than any other book. And also this, in the first 11 verses, the word throne is mentioned 12 times. It's amazing. On and on he goes. And John is completely impressed. Another verse of the rapture that you're learning a lot about on Wednesday nights, you might ask, well, when did Jesus ever talk about the rapture? Well, here's your answer right here. John 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's in heaven. If it were not so, I would have told you. He doesn't lie. I go to prepare a place for you. Where? Heaven. And if I go, where do you go? Heaven. I'll prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself. Where's that? In the atmosphere. We know that already. That where I am, where is he? In heaven. You may be also. Tremendous. When the saints go marching in, church, keep this in mind. It will happen and fulfill this verse of Scripture. And we'll end with this one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Let me read it a little differently because I believe what I'm about to say here as Paul did when he wrote it. So I do when I read it. He goes on to say that if Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who died in Jesus. For this I say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go up before those who have died in Christ. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven and with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Listen to what he says. Paul spoke this 2,000 years ago. Then we who are alive and remain to that moment. Paul believed that he was going to get raptured any day. And he lived for it. Shall be caught up, rapture in Latin, harpazo in Greek, halach in Hebrew, together with them, that is those who died in Jesus, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. When Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Paul the Apostle says, man, that is right, church. That is so true that he's going to come just like he said. He's going to receive us into the atmosphere. He's going to take us back to where he's been. He's prepared a place for us as he's promised. We're going to be up there. The chamber doors are going to shut, fulfilling Isaiah chapter 26. All hell's going to break loose on earth. During that tribulation period, we're going to be gathered together at the marriage supper of the Lamb of God, the Bride of Christ. At the conclusion, a door will be opened in Revelation 19, and we'll be upon white horses, and we'll come down with Christ. Paul says it's all going to happen. And the moment the rapture takes place, Christian, you will forever be with the Lord. You will never be separated from him ever again. Nowhere. No how.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the opening verses of Revelation chapter 4, the apocalyptic visions given to the Apostle John. It's a study called When the Saints Go Marching In, speaking of one of the events that takes place at the end of the age. Now, if you're truly interested in the end times and all that will take place in and around Israel, here's your chance to get the real biblical perspective, especially in how it all relates to what Scripture foretells regarding the ultimate outcome. It's the 2006 Israel and Bible Prophecy Conference. If there's ever a time to be informed, this is it. The three-day event takes place this weekend, August 4th through the 6th, starting Friday morning at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. The 2006 Israel and Bible Prophecy Conference is sponsored by Hope for Today with well-known Israel supporter David Hocking. You'll also hear Chuck Smith, Thomas Ice, Dave Hunt, as well as Pastor Jack and others who are armed with inside information. Visit realradioactive.org for more details or call us at area code 909-393-7100. Looking forward to seeing you there. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.